Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, and thank you for tuning us in as well. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and we are studying the book of Exodus. And in fact, last week we began a wonderful study about the 10 plagues in Egypt. And we're going to continue today, starting with the second plague, which is found in the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus. We're going to talk about frogs and lice, and you never know what all else we're going to get to today, so I hope that you have your Bible. I'll be reading from the King James Translation, and we're going to open God's Word and apply it to our lives. The first plague, which ends the 7th chapter of Exodus, is all the water for 7 days has been turned into blood. Just imagine the awful smell of dead fish everywhere, not a drop of drinkable water. Pharaoh's heart still hardened, though. So Exodus chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, Go to Pharaoh, saying to him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if you refuse to let them go, behold, I'm going to smite your borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house. They'll be in your bedchamber, upon your bed even, in the house of your servants, upon your people, in your ovens, into the kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come upon thee, and upon thy people, and upon thy servants." He's not sugarcoating these plagues. He's making sure Pharaoh knows what's going to happen. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Tell Aaron, verse 5, Stretch forth your hand with your rod over the streams, the rivers, and the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched forth his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up, and they covered the land." Now here's what's interesting. Verse 7 of Exodus 8, "The magicians did so with their enchantments, and they also bring up frogs," but they would have some kind of a sleight of hand trick where they're making it appear as if these frogs appeared from nowhere, but God's frogs did. Verse 8, "Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me, from my people, that I will let the people go. They may go and do their sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. He said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, from thy houses, from thy servants, from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out of the houses and the villages and out of the fields. They gathered them into heaps upon the land. It stank. When Pharaoh saw there was respite, he hardened his heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as God had said." What I find interesting about this plague is that this time Pharaoh wants these frogs gone. Now imagine, not just a cute frog here and there, but they are everywhere. And they're even in your bedroom, they're in your bed, they're even in your kneading trough when you're trying to make bread. They're everywhere. So Pharaoh wants them gone. Now, Hapi, H-A-P-I, is the frog goddess of Egypt. Also Hekt, H-E-Q-T, that's another Egyptian deity, and both Hekt and Hapi are related to fertility, and they used to use frogs to determine fertility. Sometimes they would take a woman that they thought was with child, and they would take some of her urine and inject it to a frog, and if certain things happen, then congratulations, you are expecting a child. So this would have been God defeating these Egyptians, or these Egyptian deities. These Egyptians here, they were able to do some kind of a sleight of hand trick, make these frogs appear. And this would also have affected the land of Goshen where God's people are. But notice, Pharaoh wants these gone. And so they heap them upon these large heaps. And so that is almost a direct segue into our next plague. That would be of lice. And that's found in Exodus 8, 16 through 19. "The Lord said unto Moses," this is plague number 3, saying to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth. It became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. With their magicians, they did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. For there were lice upon man, upon beast. And the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now Seb is the Egyptian god of Egypt. He's the earth god, excuse me. With this plague, there's no warning for Pharaoh as there were with the previous one. We see that the rod that budded, the rod that became a serpent, all it has to do is hit the ground, and all the dust becomes as if it were lice. Now, if you've ever been around lice, if you're familiar with that, you know what an awful, painful experience that is. And the Bible tells us that it's on both man and beast. You know, schools practically shut down if there's a lice infestation. You can only imagine all of the land of Egypt, but here's what I find interesting about this one. This is the first plague that the Egyptian magicians, they can't duplicate. They can't smite the dust and have it appear as if they made lice appear. This also occurs in Goshen where God's people are, but I love what their magicians say. These magicians have it right because they attribute this to the hand of God. See, they've realized that there's something special going on here. These lice, it is a detriment to their health, a detriment to society. It is something that would make their commerce and their way of life come to a screeching halt. But think about this. Not only do you have that, you still have the compound of all these dead frogs everywhere. It's been theorized, as we need to take us a break here in just a second, but it has been theorized that these plagues took a couple of months. So you have one plague, and then just as soon as it's over and you think you're healing, another plague comes. And so this is very problematic for the Egyptians. Lice would be no laughing matter. We need to take us a quick little break, and then if you will stick around, I promise as soon as we come back, we will look at the fourth plague, that of flies, here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. This is Reading the Word. We're looking at the book of Exodus, and specifically here we are looking at the 10 plagues. We've discussed the first three, water turning into blood, frogs, and we just finished discussing lice. They're affecting the Israelites and the Egyptians, and what a detriment that would have been to their society. Let's keep the story going in Exodus chapter 8, beginning in verse 20 with flies. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. And lo, he cometh forth to the water, and you'll say to him, let my people go, that they may serve me, that they may serve God. Else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon you, upon your servants, upon your people, into your houses. To the house of the Egyptians, they will be full of swarms of flies, and also on the ground whereon they are. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, and the swarms of flies, they will not be there. To the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. There came a grievous swarm of flies to the house of Pharaoh and to his servants' houses, all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and says, verse 25, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet to do so, For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. We shall sacrifice the abomination before our eyes. Will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey to the wilderness to sacrifice as God's command. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only do not go so far away. Entreat for me. Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee. I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, his servants, and all the people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more, not letting the people go. Sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses and removed these swarms. But Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he would not let God's people go. I find it funny that here is another plague that Pharaoh now has warning to. He's privy to it, if you will. These flies are everywhere, and Uatchit is the fly god of Egypt. Uatchit, that's the fly god of Egypt. We need to note something with this plague. God makes a distinction. God makes a separation between his people and the Egyptian people. Why? Because with all of these swarms of flies, literally noisome pests, noisome flying things, well, they don't happen to the Israelites that are in the land of Goshen. They just happen in Egypt. We see here that no more plagues will come upon the Israelites. God's people are different. Moses said, please, I'll do whatever. If you will just make these go away, I'll let you go sacrifice, but don't go too far. And as soon as the flies are no longer a problem, he pulls back on his promise. Well, I think we can discuss the fifth plague. That's the disease on cattle, Exodus 9, 1 through 7. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses and the donkeys and the camels and the oxen, upon the sheep. There'll be a very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and that of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's. The Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow in the Lord shall do this thing to the land. And the Lord did all that thing on the morrow. All the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He did not let God's people go. Another plague. You'd think Pharaoh would be shaking in his boots because all these things are happening that he can't combat. He can't call and have somebody chant out to one of these deities that they worship and have all these problems go, which, by the way, there is at least four different Egyptian gods associated with bulls and cows. Ptah, Hathor, Menevis, and Amon. And yet they couldn't cry out to Hathor or to Amon or to any of them and have this problem leave them. Now, oftentimes back then, you were deemed how much property you had affected your lifestyle. And so property would also include your livestock. And if you have a large portion of your livestock dying, well, you're going down in socioeconomic status, and you did nothing. You didn't buy, sell. You did nothing. Well, this is the problem when you go against God. And once again, you would think that Pharaoh would let God's people go, but it's explicitly said that his heart was hardened, and he would not let God's people go. So this disease on cattle, well, it just, you'd think that, honestly, if I were Pharaoh, I think I would have, at least after the second one, I would have let God's people go. But he is too stubborn, too full of himself, that he just thinks he knows what is best. And oh, don't we know it to be true that God always knows what is best? We're going to have to stop our study here. We've halfway through the study here, if you will, of the 10 plagues. If you want to catch any more of the studies we've done in this series, you can find them on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's the Justin, R-E-E-D, thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword, or just Google Reading the Word, Justin Reed, and you can find it there as well. If the good Lord wills, we'll continue with our sixth plague next week with the boils, and we'll keep talking about hail, locust, darkness, and eventually wind up on the death of the firstborn. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.